have been back to once, mm-hmm. and I've seen it. And there were Bella Faulkner, who was my pal in the suffrage movement, and John Harrison, who she married afterwards, and Esther Harrison, and Josh Craddock, and that was us.
Was Harrison, I'm just trying to think, was he put in prison one time?
Yes, he was.
Yes, I remember seeing something about
that. He was put
that.
In prison for being a conscientious objector.
Yes, yes,
how
I remember.
How did you first meet Joss then?
Oh, I met him at Cornsay Colliery, at a suffragette meeting. Mm-hmm. And he agreed with me, and he took me home to see his mother afterwards. Mm-hmm. He had, by the way, a greenhouse.
Oh, always had. Always, yes.
He always had.
Pigs, and hens, goats, everything. Always liked anything mm-hmm. like that.
Yes. I remember he brought me some tomatoes that night, mm-hmm. and we had bread and butter and tomatoes mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. tea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why was he at the meeting then, Mrs. Lucock? And
oh, just that
he lived
in the village, and anybody came round at the meeting.
Yeah, he just came to look. Sort of, you think, really? Yeah,
and he agreed with what he heard.
Yeah.
And then he would fight to the death for anything that he believed
in. Yes, yes, indeed.
Oh, yes.
And John Harrison was the secretary of the ILP at Cornsay Colliery. And he introduced me to Joss mm-hmm. and to his brother George.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And his sister Emma. Wasn't she Emma?
No,
Emma Craddock who married George.
Yes, yes.
That's right.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a sister, was there?
My dad had my aunt Nora.
Nora. Nora married Tommy Hassan.
Hassan, uh-huh.
Yes.
And
what happened to her?
She's dead now, I believe. Never met her.
No.
Never met her.
I went... When they went to Cramlington, Hartford Colliery.
Yes, Hartford Colliery. They went over Minas, back over
I went Minas. Over to Northumberland Miners' Gala in 1914, mm-hmm. and they put me up there at the Craddocks overnight. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I was thinking about it the other day when I was peeling potatoes. We brought potatoes in a bucket. And we each peeled them.
Yes.
And the quantity that you peeled.
Yes.
It was absolutely terrific.
Yes, yes.
But you saw him at that meeting then. That was the first time you saw him. And what? Then you carried on, did you? And was he a bit sweet on you, do you think?
I think he was. I was going to say, I think I ought to mention this, that I was at Chopwell at a May Day meeting. And Joss went with me. And across the room I saw somebody that I fell in love with at first sight. And he did fall in love with me. And we didn't know the name. And we didn't know either of us what the name was of the other person. But we each went home. And we said very decidedly, that is the person I'm going to marry. And that was my husband. Uh-huh. And about a fortnight after, Joss asked me to marry him. He called over to see me at Neville's Cross. And he asked me to marry him.
Mm-hmm. He never said that, mate.
No.
No, no.
And I said to him, no, I'm in love with somebody else. And he said, what's the name of the person you're in love with? And I said, I told him a lie. I said, I don't want to give you his name. I didn't know his name, you see.
No.
And then when we went to the camp at Partridge Bottom, I think he thought that I'd told him a lie. Mm-hmm. And we were never quite as friendly again. Because I fell for Will. When Will came down from Newcastle, I had to meet him at Durham Station. And he stepped out of the train and I said, "Oh, it's you." And he said, "And it's you." And we were engaged in a week. And I think Joss had the feeling that I'd told him a lie about it.
But you had, well, you had in a way, but only a small one.
Well, it wasn't that I wouldn't have considered him.
No.
No, it wasn't at all. But
just you happened to have seen someone.
I saw somebody else in the meantime, and I was hopelessly in love with him. I came home, and my landlady said, "Oh, what's happened? Have you had a good day today?" And I said, "Yes, I've met the man I'm going to marry." And she said, "What's his name?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know his name, but I know I shall meet him again." And of course I did. And then we were engaged for 4 years, and he was a conscientious objector. And the men at the pit, at the North Wall Bottle Pit, said they weren't going to work with him. And he went down to the lodge meeting and he said, "Lads, I've always been on your side. I'm not going to be against you now. I'll leave." And so he went, came over to Middlesbrough, where I was walking at, working as a trade union organiser. And we got married in the August of 1918. And then he became a Labour Party agent.
And he didn't, it wasn't long ago that he died, was it? I mean,
1960.
Yeah.
I didn't think that I could have lived 17 years without him.
No.
But I've been very busy.
So it all worked out. That's an argument for love at first sight.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes, I think it is.
It's 10 year, past February since my dad died. He was 81.
Was he?
I used to ask Will whether he'd ever come across Joss Craddock, and he used to say no, he hadn't heard of him.
What was he like, Connie, when he was a young man, when you first came?
Oh, he was terrific. He was rather like Tarzan.
Yes. Very keen on keeping fit.
Yes, very keen.
Yes.
And he used to spring up when we were going through the woods and reach out to a branch and swing on it.
Yes.
He was so terrifically strong.
Yes,
he was marvellous.
I bet you admired that then.
Yes.
The young woman. What did he look like? Was he good looking?
No,
I don't think so. No.
He just craggy. Very strong.
Craggy.
And strong.
Yes.
But well built.
Not fat. He was always... I remember him saying he was always at his best when he was, what did he say, about 11 stone, and he had a 24-inch waist. You know, he was very big boned.
Yes, he was very big boned.
Very big boned.
And very muscular.
Yes.
Well, of course, you had to be.
Yes. But he hadn't an ounce of fat on him then. Of course, he did grow.
He and George had a drift mine, which they worked themselves. They had it on lease from the owners at the time.
I don't know about
and
that.
I went down to it once. It was in the hills above Cornsey. Mm-hmm. I went into it.
George is his brother, is it? Or
yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Did he marry?
He never did.
Oh.
No, he never did. And I'm an adopted daughter.
I see.
I don't know whether you knew his brother, Jack.
No, I didn't.
Jack was older than me dad. And they had 9 of a family, and I was born in Hartford Colliery.
Oh, yes.
and I was the last one of nine, and my mother died just a few days after I was born. And Joss was living with someone, and this one, I knew her as mother, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yes, I know.
And the family was split up, you know, but nobody would have the baby. And she came over and took me back, and they brought me up. And he's really my uncle, Joss, but he's always been
my
dad. From 16 days old, so he was always my daddy.
Yeah.
Yes, always.
And you were the only one he brought up, were you? I mean.
Oh, yes.
It was a very pleasant custom then that people would adopt babies at birth.
Yes.
Tom, Will's brother, older brother, adopted two children.
Yeah, well, that, if you haven't got the welfare state to do it for you, you've got to have the family for
yes.
it. Oh, yes, yes.
And it was quite simple in the pit villages at the time.
Oh, yes,
yes. You knew everybody.
Yes.
And you wanted to look after a baby.
Yes, yes. And he always says that I was so puny and small, and they had the doctor in every day, and he said, oh, he'll just have to sit up and watch her. She'll just go in her sleep, you know.
Dear
but I'm
me.
Still here. I'm still here.
Who did he marry then? Who did Joss marry then, Mrs. Wright?
He didn't.
Who was the woman he was with then? What was her name?
Euphemia. Femi.
I see. That's your. You called her
you
mother.
I called her mother. Yes.
I see. And she was a local person, was she, or what?
Well, I don't really know. I don't really know who she is. Yes.
And so they were together, what, quite a long time?
Oh, right? yes. Mm. They couldn't marry because she still had a husband that wouldn't...
I see. No.
...wouldn't divorce her, you see.
Mm.
And she died in 1940.
Mm. Oh, yes.
When I was 12 years old, she died.
Uh-huh.
And she was the only mother that I ever knew.
And then you made a home for him.
Yes, and then I was just a two of one.
Yes.
Mm. Been a two of one ever since, yes.
Mm.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I
wouldn't change them for the world. Wouldn't change them.
I'm very glad you wrote to me.
Oh, yes. Yes.
What was he like as a father? Because he was a father to you, really, wasn't
he? Oh, yes.
Was he very strict with you?
He was, yes. When I was younger, very strict, yes. Oh, yes, he wouldn't put up with any nonsense, no, not from me or anybody,
No, he wouldn't from anybody.
He wouldn't, no.
Is that right? He was a very independent sort of person.
Oh, yes. Very independent.
Yes.
Yeah. Wouldn't be pushed around by people.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. He said he was no better than anybody else, but he was as good as, you know.
Yes, quite.
And he used to say, well, I may not be many people like me, but they certainly respect us. You know?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care about being liked.
No, he didn't care about being liked at all.
And he used to drum it into me as well. He used to say, call a spade a spade. You know? He always said that. Yes.
Yes, he was a straightforward man.
Oh, yes.
And that's why I think that he had it in for me, against me,
you mean
that
you
I'd told
tell.
Him a lie.
Yes, maybe.
It could, yes, it seems to be something in the family, I don't know. He fell out with Aunt Nora.
Oh, yes.
You know?
That's your mother, is it? Or?
No, the one that married Tommy Hassan.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes, and they never spoke again.
Really?
No.
I know. I remember Will meeting Nora Hassan sometime and saying what had happened to Joss.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
She wouldn't know.
She wouldn't know.
No. Just the same way as I didn't know. I didn't know where any of them were in Durham. No, and just... No.
And then, of course, the Cornsey pit shut down. It was the little village beside Cornsey called Quebec.
Yes, yes.
And I remember going to Mrs. Craddock's and spending the night there.
Mm-hmm.
And having the tomatoes that just grew.
Yes. You see, my grandmother Craddock, wasn't she? She must have been a stern woman as well.
Oh, she was.
Cause
she was the only one who could manage Joss.
Oh, yes. And the fort like cat and dog.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yes.
And she used to cope with him.
What about Joss's father then? Was the mother the dominant one then in the family?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
She was a widow when I knew her.
Pardon?
She was a widow when I knew her.
Was she?
Yes.
No. I didn't know either, my granddad or my grandmother. But I haven't even seen a photograph of my grandfather. Just what my dad's told us, but she was certainly the, I wouldn't say she was boss in the house, but she was certainly,
She was.
Was she?
And he would say that she was the boss in the house,
mm-hmm.
and he was the boss down in the garden.
Yes, yes. Yes, though I think there must have been both of the same nature.
She would pick up a coal scuttle and throw it at him if he didn't answer.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think they had fallen out, because I remember them saying that when the must, yes, they had fallen out, and when she was dying, she had asked for Joss. And Joss was at Hartford at the time, and nobody had sent for him. And he was so hard up that he couldn't go, and he walked.
Did he?
From Hartford Colliery. Over to Durham. To where?
To Quebec.
Quebec. Mm. Yes, and he said he was so shabby that he didn't go to the funeral. He just stood behind a tree and watched them.
Yes, he would.
Yes.
Was he proud of his appearance? And did he dress up and that sort of thing?
No.
Mm.
No.
No, he wasn't at all proud of it.
No, he just liked to be. If he would got a new suit and he put it on, he went out and had a few drinks, he would just come back and go down the garden and feed the hens in it. You know, he just was the same way with carpets and that, he'd say. The bugger's too good to walk on, roll it up and we'll sit and watch it. You see, that was his, yes.
What did he do, Mrs. Wright, for a living? I mean, he started off as a miner, didn't he?
Yes, he was a miner till he died.
All his life, was he?
All the time,
until
I
he was, all the time he was working. Was he really? So he retired, what, 65, did he? Or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Straight, the week he was 65, he retired.
Did he?
54 years he had down the mine.
Huh? It would be 65.
Yeah.
And he would start at 13.
Mm-hmm. Was he either 53 or 54, I think?
Yes. But what about you? Was he keen on your education? Was he trying to encourage you to get on?
No, I used to get wrong about my school reports because I was always just average. I was never. And he used to say that I would get walloped if I got another report like that, you know, but...
Yeah. He was quite ambitious for you then, was he? But you just didn't want to go places yourself,
no,
was that right?
No. Yeah. Well, he was a very great reader in that, you know, he was very...
Yes, he was.
Was he?
Yes, very great reader.
He liked ideas.
Oh, yes.
And he liked to dissect them and think about them. And then either adopt them or oppose to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he came to your meeting, I suppose, in the first place.
Oh, yes.
Just to get your idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, he saw my bruises on my arm. Mm. And he said to me, "Where'd you get those?" And I said, "I've told you that we're thrown out of meetings." He said, "I'll come with you next time." Mm-hmm. And he did, and it was the only time I wasn't thrown out.
Yes, yes.
Tell us what happened when at that meeting.
Well, I got up and I said, "When are you going to give votes to women?" And then a steward pushed me on the floor, and the usual a noise and disturbance began, and then suddenly there fell a calm behind me, and I looked over my shoulder and saw Joss. He was squaring up to them, and he was saying, "Come on, you buggers, come on, you buggers." And he says to me over his shoulder, "Get on, Henny, and keep these buggers here, I'll need."
Yes, could have. And
so he could have done.
Yes.
And so I had a 5-minute speech, which was very unusual. And as I went down the big market with Peter the other day, I saw the front of the balcony coming down. And I said, "Peter, stop and look at that." And he said, "What's about it?" I said, "That's a bit of my life coming down there."
Yes.
I remember picking the seat in the front of the balcony and saying to Joss, "Sit a bit behind me." Mm-hmm. "Sit in the third row." Mm-hmm. "Because I'm number 12.
Because they had numbers, you know.
Oh, yes.
To interrupt.
You had
and number
oh,
one interrupt.
Had to have 11 chucked out for
then
four.
Number two.
Yes.
It was a bit worrying when you got to the far end of the numbers,
yes,
because you'd seen a good many other people thrown out.
Yes, yes.
Was he keen on women's rights, you know, later on, or was it just something in his early life that was forgotten? And did he talk about women's movements or, you know, suffragettes?
No, I can't really remember him. I think he just, anything that he believed in, he just...
He was keen on everybody's rights, wasn't he?
I think so, yes, yes, yes.
Did he join in any other movements later? I mean, was he in the, active in the Labour Party, for example?
Oh,
in
no,
politics?
But he would certainly let them know if they came around and he didn't believe in what they were saying. He just certainly told them in no uncertain terms.
Yes, I'll guarantee
know.
He did.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I wish I had him there now as a worker.
Read up on things, and he could go back, even for religion, if there was any of these came around religion, he would go over the Bible, "Now what about this, and what about that," and, oh, yes, he would, used to...
I expect you had a time with him.
Oh,
He voted Labour, did he? He was a Labour
voter. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
And later years, I can remember them coming to the door, and I would just sort of say, "Hey, busy making the dinner or anything." My dad used to say, "Come in, you silly bugger, you're worse than them for listening to them. You done?" Oh, dear. Yes.
You were saying something about cooking. He did his own cooking, did he?
Oh, he liked to cook, yes.
Did he?
Yes.
That's unusual, isn't it, for a man, really, of his generation.
Mm-hmm.
Lots
mm-hmm.
of men do it now, but...
Well, he used to poach a rabbit, you know, and get one for us at the camp, and then he'd cook it.
Yes.
He wouldn't trust anybody else to
cook
it.
No. And he liked making wines. He liked to, he's always doing something like that.
And you said he had lots of, he had stuff in the garden always, did he? Growing
vegetables? Oh, yes, yes, he liked his garden, yes. Mm. Parsnip wine, beetroot wine, he always making something.
What sort of things did he read, Mrs. Wright, do you know? I mean, sort of political stuff or novels or what do you think?
No, he used to like, I think he had read all Jack London's stories and...
particularly.
Not, yes, yes. Oh, yes, he liked all his... he didn't like fiction or anything. He just liked people's life stories.
What about newspapers? Did you have a newspaper in the house, or didn't you take a newspaper?
Oh yes, yes, used to take
the Daily Herald.
The Daily Herald, aye. Yes, he wouldn't have anything else in the house.
No, I don't guarantee he didn't.
No, wouldn't have them in the house. No, no, nor the News of the World, nor nothing like no.
He sounds to me rubbish. The sort of person who would go to university now, or certainly go on with his education a lot further now.
Yes.
But in those days, you just.
Why, they couldn't, you see.
Well, of course, Susie went to the concert school and he left at 13 and went down the pit.
Yes.
And this was what happened to every boy.
Yes.
Every boy in the mining village went down the pit.
Yes.
At that age. And that's the fault that I find with when the boat comes in. That Billy is a doctor, but he wouldn't have had any chance of it.
No.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. That's interesting. Did he ever sort of go to night school or
no.
WEA or anything
no.
like that?
No.
Just
the adult school. We used to meet on the Sunday afternoon at Quebec in the Methodist chapel, and we called ourselves an adult school in order to get the rent, the permission to meet there on the Sunday afternoon, but we talked about socialism.
He came to those meetings.
Yes.
He?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember him telling me he'd, I'm sure he said he was, I think it was Durham Marketplace. He must have been interested in religion when he was younger, was he?
Possibly.
Can you remember? I can't.
It was over by the. there was a Christian Scientist who came to visit our camp, and he had a very great contempt for him.
Well, it's you know I wouldn't. I'm just trying to think, but I think he said it was in Durham Marketplace, and they were preaching this day. And him, and I don't know the name of the man, right, but they had gone for a cup of tea into a little cafe. And he said there was a couple there with a baby, and they must have been on the road, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they came over and they had asked this chap if he could spare a penny. And he had sort of said, oh, get away, you know, don't bother him. So my dad said, he said to him, I can't think of the name. You and I are going to heaven, aren't we? And he said, yes, my son. He says, and then we'll be going to hell. He says, I just stood up and says, well, I'm going to hell with them. And he just got up.
Yes,
and,
he would.
Aye. He said.
He would.
He was against religion, was he? Any type of religion? I
mean, no, well, he mustn't have been.
He was against religion that didn't carry out its precepts.
Yeah.
You see, he wouldn't, this chap, that's supposed to be holier than thou and wouldn't give those people a penny, you see. So, and he says, I just got up and said, well, I'll just go to hell with those people.
But he didn't go to chapel or church here?
No,
But he when wouldn't. People came to the door, knocked on the door, he'd have an argument with them, would he?
Oh, know? Yes, yes. Yes. He always come off
that.
Best, do you know? He always come off best.
Yes. Would enjoy that.
Yes.
Yes. We used to go over to Chopwell on May Day and the Socialist Sunday School. And we'd catch the train and walk so far and then catch the train back. And we used to go there to Chopwell regularly because I was fed up with the boss of the school that I was at. He tormented me all the time. He thought, when I left to become a trade union organiser, he said to my farewell party, he said, you are a heaven-born teacher and you're a blooming little idiot.
Yeah.
And that was his opinion of me.
Yes, yes.
And Joss and I used to get away, meet in Durham, and get over to Chartwell, to the Socialist Sunday School there. Mm-hmm. And that was where I met Will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we went 4 or 5 times, because we liked that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was fond of the country, was he?
Yes.
Mm. Oh, he was terrific about the country.
Yes.
He knew everything. Mm. He knew where the rabbits run.
Oh, yes. And we used to walk up here, before we moved into this house. We lived over in the old part, you know, and this was all fields and that. And we used to walk up and get mushrooms, watercress growing. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What did he do for his spare time? I mean, he was keen on the gardening, and he was keen on reading. He was keen on the drink, was he?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. He always liked his drink.
Yes, he did.
Always. Yes, yes, up till the day he died.
Yeah. How do you fit that in with his being keen on being fit, you know, because the two don't really go together, do they?
Yeah. Well, they don't really, but he still was a fit man. He could...
He was a very strong man, wasn't he?
Oh, yes.
Mm.
He was down at the Red House here, and he was... how old was he? He was in his 70s. And he was standing on his head down there, and he could go along the floor, you know, on his bottom, you know, with his hands and feet up, you know, and he could go along on his bottom like that. And
in
his splits, yes, and he could do the splits.
he could do terrific things.
Yes.
I never saw a man so strong.
No, absolutely. He had a hand like a shovel.
Yes, he had.
Yes. I know, if you got a welt of it, you knew. Yes.
Did they admire him in the mine, in the colliery? I mean, was he admired by the other miners?
Well, he had a very good name for work. He was a very good worker, but of course he often had rows.
Oh, he would.
And... he's been sent out of the pit for, he would say, well, you know what, the job, he thought it should be done a certain way, and they said this way, so he would just come out. You know, he'd say, no, that wasn't right. But they've always come back for him and asked for him to go back again, yes.
Was he a keen union man?
Oh, yes. Yes. Mm. Yes.
He sounds a real character.
Oh, absolutely.
He was indeed.
Yes, yes, he was. Hard, you kind of describe, hard as nails, really. I mean, he could punch anybody in the jaw and wouldn't think anything about it, but those other things could make him cry quite easily.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, yes.
What sort of things, Mrs. Wright?
Well, kiddies. He loved kiddies. I used to go out here when he was going down for a drink, and he always had a pocket full of sweets. And they just used to come around for him, and he used to give them a whack on the bottom with his walking stick, and then give them a couple of sweets. And they used to come out any amount of them, yes.
You think they adopted you because he was fond of children, partly, do you think? I mean, he wanted children of his own.
Well, I don't know. But he certainly loved me all the time. Yeah, stern and hard, I mean, but...
He would be quite incapable of going past a baby who needed help.
Would he?
Yeah, quite incapable.
Or anybody. Tramps, I've come in from school quite a few times, and there's... he used to get these tramps, though. He used to come around and ask for a piece of bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they had great big pockets
in it. Yes, I know.
Just pushing the bread. But my dad used to come in, and I've come home for my dinner from school, and there's been a dirty-eyed tramp sitting there, daffing into, sitting at the table with us, you know.
So he's an odd combination of toughness and softness.
Oh, yes, yes, definitely. Yes.
Maybe you have to be tough in order to be gentle.
Yes, yes.
Maybe you're frightened of being put upon if you're not tough.
Yes, yes. But he didn't just defend you at meetings, did he? He helped you in your militancy, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Oh, yes. He set fire to the station at Eshwinning.
When you were on about that on the telly, I just thought to myself, I thought, I don't have any doubts but what
you see,
Dad would have
done. I discussed it, and we said that the way to do it was for somebody else to do it, and all the signs to point to me, and that I would be away at a meeting. And so he said, well, I'll do it. So I said, righto, this is what you do. And I told them that you put a tin lid with bicycle solution in, and a candle, about an inch of candle in the middle. I told them Mr. Tyntees privately. And I didn't want to do it now, but the bicycle solution is not flammable now.
No.
So it. But we put an inch of candle, you see, and then you went away and left it. You covered it, and when it got down to the bicycle solution, it swelled and ran all over the floor, burning wherever it went. And so he did that for me. And then he left behind a handkerchief with C on it, and two or three brown hairpins. And then he went home, went to the meeting that I was at. I was at a meeting a few miles away with 40 people to assure them that I was there.
Yes.
And so he went to the next morning the police came down and interviewed me at the school, and they said, is this your handkerchief? And I said, well, I can't say it is, because there are a great many handkerchiefs with C on. And they said, oh, and you kind of identify these hairpins? And I said, well, no, there are millions of those sold every week. That's impossible. And they said, where were you? And I said, oh, I was at Cornsey at a meeting. There are about 30 people there who will tell you that I was at the meeting. And so then they finally went to Joss, and they said, you're friendly with this woman who's a suffragette, aren't you? And he said, yes, I know her. And you're a member of the ILP with her. Well, if you can get her to talk about it, and you get any information that is useful to us, come and tell us and you'll get a reward. Mm-hmm. And so he restrained himself. He said to me, I wanted to knock the buggers face off. And he restrained himself and said yes, he would. Mm-hmm. And I thought then that it was all right. Mm-hmm. Because obviously they hadn't suspected either of us.
No.
Mm. They couldn't prove anything against me. But they put a policeman to follow me at night, who was called Flegg. And he was rather fat, and I used to go up the hillside to Cornsey, you know, it's about the railway track. Mm-hmm. It was a pit heap, and Flegg used to come behind me
lumping along and bumping along and falling down occasionally. I used to be unkind then.
I was only 20.
Did he ever tell you about that, Mr.
No, no.
Do you think he would? When he'd had a few drinks, do you think he would have told you? Because it's quite an exciting story, that.
It is, yes. No, he didn't. No. No, but I just sort of guessed because it is them.
I expect he thought that it would, that I should still be liable.
Maybe, yes, he's still being loyal to you.
Yes, yes.
Maybe that's it.
I think so.
Yes.
But I never had any doubt of his loyalty.
No, he never thought he'd
And he came and told me that the police had called and seen him, and I said, oh, well, that's all right.
Mm-hmm. What about money, Mrs. Wright? I mean, he wasn't sort of close with money if he gave it away like that to tramps and people like that. I mean, he spent his money quite freely, didn't he?
Oh, yes. Mm. Yes.
He didn't sort of save it all up and hide it away or anything.
Oh, no. By Jove, no. Mm. No.
Mm. He's just like me.
He believed that he earned his money,
yes,
and that it was his money, and he had a right to give it away,
yes,
and that he had a duty to give it away as well. Mm-hmm. And he didn't think that he would want to invest it or anything like that. That was capitalism.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't have anything to do with that.
No.
What about sport? Was he a sporting man? Did he go to football or play games or anything like that?
No, I don't think he was interested in football at all. He liked boxing.
Uh-huh.
He used to like to watch boxing.
Oh, he was good at that.
Yes. I can't. Wrestling, he couldn't get it. We used to see it was all a fake.
I think
it was
very
boxing.
Largely correct.
Yes, yes. Yes.
He'd have liked Cumberland wrestling, wouldn't he?
I think so, yes.
He'd have liked that.
Yes.
But of course he never saw that.
No.
I don't think you realise how tied people were to the place that they lived in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's so possible now to go to the ends of the earth, isn't it?
Yes.
But
it was undreamed of.
It was absolutely undreamed of. I used to walk home when I came back to Durham Station. I used to walk home to Neville's Cross. Well, nobody would dream of doing it now. They would get a bus.
I can remember my dad saying that he used to walk from Durham to the baths.
Yes.
At Newcastle, you know.
He would.
Back again. Mm-hmm. And walking up to see pantomime. And then walking back after it finished at night.
From Newcastle?
Yes. Yeah. Used to say they always kept the transformation scene till last. And it was that good. If you had the money for the train, it had gone by the time this was, so they used to stay and watch it and just walk home. And be in first shift. And he said, oh, never no more, but...
So what made you say that, Connie, then? I mean, just that you've got to realise...
Is that too warm for you, Connie?
Yes, it is a bit.
Just that, you know, one wouldn't naturally understand that now, because we move around so quickly.
No, I think they were very tied to making their own amusement.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was why he had the hens and the garden and the allotment and so on.
Mm-hmm. Quite a lot of miners do have hobbies like that, don't they? I mean,
yes.
Partly, I suppose, because they work in the... You know, they're not at work in the daytime quite a lot, and they've got the daytime to do these things.
Yes.
But still, I mean, you know more about it than I do. Mm-hmm.
I think the miners are marvellous people.
Mm.
They certainly used to be, as I knew them.
Mm.
And they were kindly, and I never had a meeting broken up except the one at Usher Moor, where I was speaking, and a few lads began throwing lumps of sods and that sort of thing. And there was a woman standing in a backyard, and she picked up a clothes prop and came down the road at a run. And I thought, oh no, not a woman against me. And she came down and she plumped the thing down by the side of her, and she said, "Get on, Hinny, I'm with you. I'll keep these buggers quiet." And she did.
Coated them with a towel.
Yeah. Yes. But they were like that.
Oh, yes, yes.
They were generous and they were kindly. Mm-hmm. I think they still are.
Oh, yes, the majority of them. I just think it's these new housing schemes that stopped a lot of it when they were
in the back streets
and that. If anybody was ill, you just didn't have any worries. One would do the washing and
I remember when I had my first baby, Will used to say to me, if we were in the north now, that was in Gloucestershire, if we were in the north now, you'd have somebody come in to do your washing and somebody to come in and do your baking.
Yes.
And somebody would look after you.
Yes.
And this was accepted. It was a way of life.
You still notice it now, of course. I mean, coming up here from Oxford, you notice it when you go in the shops. They're much more friendly here than they are in the south, even now. But still, it's not the same thing.
No.
Not quite the same.
No, there's a big difference from moving from just over there, you know, from back streets and that, to over here. Sometimes I come in here and I don't ever see the next door. Of course, they're good neighbours. I mean, I know if I just knocked, they would be here. But if anyone made a cup of tea, you see, that they would just shout, "I've made a cup of tea," and that was it.
That was it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm. Or I've got some pasties in the oven, they won't be long of being ready, and they went in and
had some.
Yes. Mm. You never knew where your brush and broom was, though, mind. I mean,
I didn't think so.
Yes.
It's a pity Joss never saw Christopher.
Oh, yes.
He would have liked him.
Absolutely. He's spoiled now, but he would have been worse. Absolutely, yes.
He would have liked him taking an interest in animals.
Oh, he would have taught him. Oh, taught him such a lot, yes.
Yes, he would.
What about food? What sort of food did he like, Joss, then? Anything? I mean, was he fussy about food?
No, but he still liked all the plain stuff. Broth, pot pie, rabbit pie. You know, he wouldn't have anything out of a tin.
No, indeed.
Corned beef, I remember once. I opened a tin of, "Don't give me any bloody corned beef. I had enough of that in the war." I says, "My God, that's..." They're talking about 30. I says, "I don't care how many years it is. I don't want to see any more." You know.
I can't remember. What did he do in the wars? Oh, he was a CO.
He was a pitman.
Was he? I see. In both the wars?
Yes.
Yes, I see. Yes.
But he must have been in the... He must have been in the army at some time, him and my Uncle Jack. Or was it the Territorials?
I think it would be the Territorials. And then they would come out when they got the other ideas.
Because I can remember him saying they were at Rothbury. At camp at Rothbury. And when the food supplies came in, a butcher had told me dad how to take the kidneys out of a beast without you knowing they had gone. You know? And he used to, for the lads, I don't know, half a dozen of them in one tent, you see. They used to have kidneys at night for the supper. And see, my dad could take them out, and the sergeant used to say, "Them's the funniest bloody sheep I've ever seen. There's none of them got kidneys in." You know? You see, that was
Mr. Marlowe's.
Yes, he could just, and you could just imagine him, because when he got that glint in his eye, he was just ready for anything. The salmon swarming up, well, I mean, it was taboo to touch them. But they used to have salmon.
Oh, I bet they
you
did.
See,
you mean he'd
he used to poach them. He used to say, we'll be back here, then he used to say, shut up, them's the bailiffs. You know, standing around, but...
he would know the... He knew all the tricks.
Yes,
of
absolutely.
A poacher.
Yes. He used to have ferrets, didn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
I remember him bringing one down to show me.
Ginny.
He said he had one called Ginny.
I can remember him seeing. I can never remember him having ferrets, mine.
He had them at Cornsay, at Quebec. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What about in the house? Was your mother, or Euphemia, was Euphemia, wasn't it?
Yeah, we used to call her Femi.
Femi, was she the boss in the house and he the boss in the garden?
No.
How did it work?
It was boss.
He was
just
boss.
Just boss, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. What Dad said went. Yes.
Well, there's a story, isn't it?
Yes.
A real character brought to life
again.
Indeed.
Oh, yes.
Yes, indeed. How's that doing?
Now say something.
Hello, little boy. We'll be with you next week.